Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. We're live on the air right now to talk about the basic gospel, how it intersects with your daily life, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. The number is 1-800-677-9377. So if you have a Bible question or if there's something you need to talk about, why, give us a call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The number 1-800-677-9377 is available right now. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ is alive, and he certainly has something to say to each and every one of us. One of the questions that we get asked so much on the broadcast and through the years has been this: what do we do when we sin? Well, we have a new blog post up on our website today, and we ask the question, what does God do when we sin? I think if we know what God does when we sin, then we'll be better equipped and better prepared to know what we're to do when we sin. So we want to talk about that today on the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377. I will give a spoiler alert. This is good news. If you ask the question, what does God do when we sin, that can bring fear and trepidation. I know when I, before I really kind of started reading the Word of God and finding out what was truth, I thought that he turned his back on me every time I sinned. How about you, Richard? Did you have an idea of what God did when you sinned?
Yeah, it involved a lot of pain and fire and things like that. It, was, yeah. It just wasn't something you wanted to experience.
Wasn't pleasant, was it? Yeah, how about you, Bob?
I just ignored it.
You ignored it. But when you get serious about that, you know, and see your sin for what it is, you get worried about what God is going to do. I know Martin Luther, his story. I mean, he went and confessed just hours upon hours upon hours upon hours, and I think the Catholic priest just got tired of it. You know, Martin, go out and actually do something.
Yeah.
I mean, he was confessing thoughts and attitudes and, you know, just all sorts of things, even dreams, I think he was probably confessing, because he was so afraid of what God might do if he didn't do those things. I know, you know, others, you know, it's just over the little bitty things, quote, little bitty things that they've done in life, they've just been paralyzed with fear because they had this idea of what God was going to do to them, the punishment that he was going to bring into their lives. But none of that is true. When we sin, God reminds us of what he's already done with sin. He took it away once and for all 2,000 years ago. I mean, he looked at our sin. He looked at every single one of them. And he saw them for what they are, and he judged them for what they are, and he judged us to be guilty. And he said that we deserve death, that that's our punishment. But Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, stood in our place. He took that punishment for us. So one thing that we know for sure is this: when we sin today, God does not punish us. That's one thing that he does not do. So if you're worried, if you're sitting there just waiting for the shoe of punishment to fall, it's not going to fall. It did 2,000 years ago. Jesus took your punishment for you. That is the good news of the gospel. That's the announcement that God has already done something with your sin. Not just some of them, but all of them. What about today? Does he do anything today when we sin? Well, the answer is yes. And I invite you to go to this blog post on our website, basicgospel.net. I listed out seven things. It's not an exhaustive list. Maybe you can add to it. We invite you to make some comments to that. And let's talk about it on tomorrow's broadcast in detail. If you have questions about it, let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
Yeah.
1-800-677-9377 is the number.
That's toll-free across the country and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question about James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. In light of the new covenant, how do you explain that particular passage, James 5, 19 and 20, in regard to covering a multitude of sins and saving the person from death? That's a question from Kurt in Detroit.
Interesting passage, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And if you just take it, just those two verses, you're kind of left hanging. But if you put it in context and think about it.
There's that dreaded context
I know,
word.
All the time I keep talking about context. Both the context of James and the context of the New Covenant, it's not so scary. James was dealing with Jewish people who some were saved and some weren't quite sure if they wanted to accept this stuff. And he was just finally telling them, put your money where your mouth is. If you believe, believe, and act like you believe. And if you don't believe, it's time to start believing. And he ends the whole letter with this little passage and says, look, if one of you should wander from the truth, this is very similar to Galatians 6, actually. If one of you should wander from the truth and someone brings them back, well, this is terrific news. I mean, the person who has brought them back has saved them from, you know, if they weren't saved, then they were looking at eternal death. If they were saved, they're looking at perhaps physical death. There is a cost to sin. It's not the cost of our eternal souls. It's a cost here in our time. And so you've saved them either from temporal problems or from eternal problems, depending on where they were. And you're covering over a multitude of sins. You're restoring them gently. You're bringing them back to the body of Christ, their fellow members, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is entirely a positive thing, and it's only positive because of the new covenant. Under the old covenant, you would not have brought them back. You would have brought them to a priest so that they could offer a sacrifice. In the new covenant, Jesus has already been that sacrifice, and now you bring them to Jesus for life and for a change of mind and for restoration and all the rest of the things that he offers us.
Folks, if you're listening, that was one of the best explanations of that passage you will ever hear. Note it. This is good stuff. God has good news for us. He
every
does
time.
Things for our benefit. He loves us. He cares for us. Let's get that in our minds, folks. Mm-hmm. That will change us. That will change us forever. So this is just a wonderful, wonderful passage. And Richard, thanks for that excellent explanation.
Yeah. Open lines, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Toll free all across the country.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to go to New Hampshire and talk with Rich listening to us on WDER. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how you doing, guys? I've been listening to you for the last couple of days. I usually listen to you at 4:30 on my drive home. And, you know, you talk about, sinning, and I think I get confused. If you're a believer in God and that you sin, you continue to sin, then you must fear God, right? Can you explain how, you know, in the book it tells you to fear God? So what does that actually mean?
Well, there's a couple of different meanings for the word fear. There's a fear of punishment. John talks
right.
about that in his first letter, and he says the perfect love of God casts away all fear. It casts it away. It pushes mm-hmm. us. Pushes it out of our minds and out of our hearts. Why? Because we are fearful of punishment when we rest in the fact that God's love took away our sins through the shed blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. That fear of punishment goes away. There's another type of fear which has to do with reverence or awe, a respect, a healthy respect
right.
of
right.
who God is and who he is in our lives. So uh-huh. that's the beginning of wisdom. That type of fear is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
And something that we should all have in us. There's a lot of people out there that don't fear God at all in that respect. They don't.
You know, we're tempted every day, though, by the evil one, by our enemy. And even though it's in you, you know, that's a hard part I think a lot of people have to deal with, is having that enemy attack you every day, you know, telling you, you know.
You're exactly right, Rich. This is a tough place to live a godly, holy life in, this world that we
absolutely.
Live in today. I mean, You just go down the street, the billboards you see, they're filled with temptations. Right. You turn on the television, all of the ads, all of the television programs have just one temptation after another. You have your flesh that is in opposition to your spirit. Your flesh is trying to draw you away from what God is doing in your life. But we have to realize that God knows that. I mean, that's not a surprise or a shock to God. He knows what we're facing each and every day. That's why he sent his spirit to live inside of us. That's why when we do turn left or right of the path, when we do give in to the temptations of the world, God's spirit, you know, gets into action on our behalf, reminding us of the forgiveness that we have, reminding us of our identity in Christ, teaching us how to say no to that sin in the future. That's what God does. So he's actively loving us, actively working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when we sin, he's promised to cause all things to work together for good. We can count on that. Does that make sense, Rich? Hey, certainly appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Nashua, New Hampshire, and talk to Elizabeth listening to us on WDER. Hi, Elizabeth.
Well, hello there, dear brother.
Well, hello to you, dear sister. Welcome.
Amen. Well, I just wanted to respond a little bit to Rich, and then I'll go on with what I thought. When we pray and we ask the Lord to lead us not into temptation, then we trust in the Lord that he will not lead us into temptation. He'll prevent it because we prayed that, along with the Lord praying for us in heaven, that we stay on the straight and narrow path and we don't turn to the left and we walk by faith. We do not walk by sight. So, therefore, these billboards have no effect on us because in faith we're walking and we're relying on our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus. We trust him with all of our hearts.
Well, here's the deal, Elizabeth. Let me just jump in a little bit, okay? Because there's one point that I think is important for us to understand is these billboards, they don't affect us as children of God. You know, our spirits are complete, they're alive, they're sealed with the Holy Spirit, but we still have flesh hanging on us, and sin lives in that flesh. And so those billboards and those temptations activate this flesh. So we have to understand that. As Paul writes in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So there's fleshly desires that are still there, that are still inside of us. They're not who we are. We're children of God. They don't define us. We're not bound to those desires. We do not have to give in to those desires. But flesh still behaves as flesh. One day that flesh is going to go into the grave. We're going to come out with a new body, and sin is not going to have any connection to us whatsoever. But until that happens, flesh is still there. So I think that's important, because a lot of times when you're saying, hey, that doesn't affect me, and then you see a fleshly desire pop up inside of you, you're saying, wait a minute, that's not supposed to affect me. Well, it didn't affect you, the child of God, but it did activate your flesh, and your flesh is trying to interact with you as a child of God and draw you away from the things of the Lord.
Exactly, and you got to immediately confess it to your significant other. That way, it's dead. Now the light is on it, and it cannot go anywhere. So as soon as, like, if I see a handsome man or a, you know, construction worker, he's all working and everything, and I just looked at him a little too long, I'll tell my husband, I saw a handsome man today, and I looked at him way too long, and you got to help me with this, son. So we need to pray. And you know, he'll say a quick prayer, Lord, forgive Elizabeth for looking at the guy today. And then it's over. You know, I brought it to light, and it's gone. My husband helped me, and plus trusting in the Lord to forgive me helped me. And you know, I don't know about men. Men tend to even go by billboards or pictures. Women aren't like that. We're more like we fall for the real things in life. But men have a tendency to fall with sin with pictures. I don't know why. That seems so silly and vague. But
well,
but anyhow,
we're silly.
And
we're weird. So yeah, there's it's not real complicated.
Well, they can
trust that. But anyhow, well, my main point I was going to say, I think God responds according to how the sinner responds. Now, if we're sinning and we're not even realizing it, we're so ignorant to our own sin, I think God helps us to see the sin that we're sinning. But then again, if we sin and we notice we've sinned and we're feeling really bad, totally disappointed that we represented Christ, but we people know that we're a Christian, and we're a poor ambassador to Christ, and we're so remorseful, then God helps restore us to not feel so bad about it. And
He does so with truth, and He gets back to, here's what I did. I sent Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus took away that sin, and it puts in us a heart of thanksgiving, a heart
yes.
that responds to what Christ did to our sin 2,000 years ago, and the love that He's pouring out in our hearts today. But Elizabeth, sure appreciate your call today, and I love the fact that you go to your husband and say, this is what I did. I think that's a sign of a healthy marriage, the fact that you're communicating, that you're not afraid to speak truth. That's just fantastic. Really encouraging,
that's
Elizabeth.
Thank you so much. And we're keeping it together, getting it together and keeping it together.
Well, good for you. God bless, Elizabeth.
Yes, indeed.
Amen. Thank
Amen
you. God
indeed.
Bless you.
Hey, you too. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye. Well, friends, we just have the rest of today and tomorrow for the end of the offer for the excellent series and study guide called Gateway to Grace, yours in July for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request this exciting, informative, full conference Bible study resource, simply go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and request yours from Billy, 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go out to Tempe, Arizona and talk with Phil, listening to us on KXXT. Hi, Phil.
Hello there, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, nice to hear from you. I talked to you a couple weeks ago. I really enjoy your program a lot. This is a big blessing to me, and I just need to get some advice. I haven't been going to church for quite a time because I've been working a lot, but I've been getting caught up in my job. But the thing is, I've been asking the church that I was going to get some help financially, you know, and I talked to one of the main people that involved in the finances, and I feel like now they're kind of like shunning me away because I haven't been going to church, and I feel like now this is not what this is all about, not going to church because I haven't been going there, and I feel like now I need help. And now I feel like they're turning their back on me. And I look at the scripture that says that if your brother's in need, to help out financially, and I feel like now that they don't want to help me out. I need some help on my car. I have over 300,000 miles in my car, and my transmission's going out, and I got some medical problems. I'm a diabetic, and I'm asking for help on that for medical stuff for insulin and syringes. So I don't know what's going on here, but I just feel like I'm left out in the cold on this, and I don't know what to do or who to turn to, except I could turn to God on that. But I always look at it this way, that God will supply all my needs.
Well, Phil, there's certainly some options there. If you've been involved in a church and then haven't been going for some time, and now you're going back, and a need is compelling you to go to see if there's some way that you can get that need met. Folks are skeptical and they're just not sure and don't know how to help, don't know what to do. What I would do in your shoes, Phil, I would see if I could set up an appointment with one of the leaders in that particular church, and just to lay out the situation and see if they can be of help to you. Now, it may not come in the form of financial help, but they may have resources that could benefit you as far as other organizations, other people that they know that could do something very tangible to help you in your current situation. So I would sit down and talk to one of the leaders and just tell them where you are, what's going on, and see if you can get some sort of help, or at least pointed in the right direction. We look at things and we say, okay, I've gone. The church should just open up their checkbook and give me money to help me in my time of need based on this. So you've kind of developed an unrealistic expectation about what the church is supposed to do for you in this situation. And when they don't, you're disappointed. And that can lead to fear that, you know, you may never get help. That can lead to anger. That can lead to self-pity. That can lead to a lot of negative things. So I would get those unrealistic expectations, and I would just say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to help me in this situation, because ultimately, whatever help I get is coming from you. So I'm going to open myself up. I'm going to talk to these people. Maybe they have some steps that I can take, and I'm going to take those steps, and I'm going to be surprised by you and how you're going to meet these needs. I know you've promised to meet these needs. I'm going to just let you meet them how you want to, not the way I'm trying to make you meet them. And I think it'll make a big difference for you. It'll make a big difference as far as your attitude toward the church, and it'll be a big deal as far as your own personal attitude, how you see life and the provision of God. Let me do this. Let me put you on hold and see if we can maybe put you in touch with some people there in Phoenix that might be of help, okay?
Oh, okay. I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you.
You hang on. Great to hear from you, Phil. And keep us posted, okay?
I will. All right. Thank you.
All right. Hang on. Let's go to Grand Rapids and talk to our good friend Paul up there. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Glad to talk to you guys again.
Nice to talk to you as well. How can we help you today?
Well, I heard that people saw on a bumper of a car, "Smile, God loves you." But does God love unbelievers?
Well,
believer, yes, I can say, "Smile, God loves." Don't it give unbeliever a sense of, "Oh, God loves me, so I can do anything I want." And
well, his love is
isn't
there.
Isn't that unbiblical universalism? Huh? What'd you say?
Well, God's love is universal. Salvation isn't universal. It's God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That gospel message is available to all people. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved. So,
yes. If he calls upon the Lord, but I mean an unbeliever that won't call upon.
But that doesn't change the fact of what God did on their behalf in sending Jesus. So I think he loves all people, but that doesn't mean salvation is universal. It doesn't call for a belief of universalism.
Okay.
Well, Paul, we're out of time on today's broadcast. We sure appreciate hearing from you.
Yes, we do.
Well, thanks for
Paul.
Taking my call again.
Well, you're more than welcome.
Friends, keep in mind that Basic Gospel is totally listener-supported. We need your support to keep bringing the truth of the New Covenant onto the airwaves every day. And to say thanks and encourage your help this month, we're making available an excellent Bible study resource, Gateway to Grace. It's a full Bible conference in one exciting package. 6 CDs and a scripture-referenced, note-filled study guide that addresses many of the questionable influences we encounter every day. Gateway to Grace. It will take you on a New Covenant journey to faith and freedom. And it's a great resource for personal or group study. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Of course, during the remainder of this month, which is just about up. To request Gateway to Great, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You know, at Basic Gospel, we like and enjoy social media. We use it. We hope you do, too. And if you do, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, @BasicGospelRDO. That's @BasicGospelRDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.